Welcome to the Georgia Politics Podcast. I'm Joseph G. from Monotonous.net and Dorville.org. We're here to talk about Georgia politics. We'll start introducing ourselves.
All right. My name is Joe Winter, and my two blogs are joeventures.com and bloglanta.com.
I'm Garrett Bonk. I keep a personal blog at garrettbonk.com.
This is Decatur Guy. I run Atlanta Public Affairs at atlantapublicaffairs.blogspot.com, and I'm also a contributor to peachpundit.com, and I'm a professional troublemaker.
There's just four of us today, white male bloggers, so not a lot of diversity, but state primaries are coming up. Top five primaries to watch.
Well, obviously, the governor's race is what everybody is talking about. And, you know, the Lieutenant Governor's races in both parties, actually, are very going to be very close, I think. I don't know really who's going to win between Jim Martin and Greg Hecht in the Democratic Party or Ralph Reed or Casey Cagle in the Republican Party.
Do you have a preference for the Democratic?
I really don't. I mean, I've met both Martin and Hecht, and they both seem... you know, likable people. You know, I think either one of them is going to have a tough challenge to beat the Republican nominee, regardless of who they are. So, you know, I don't know. My gut tells me that Hecht would probably be a better statewide candidate, but I don't know that for a fact.
It's kind of tough because I think that the Democratic race has been overshadowed by the Reed-Cagle matchup, and no one's really even thinking about the Democrats. So it might just turn out to who gets enough money to get their message out there. Because everyone I know has a strong opinion about Republican lieutenant governor or the Democratic governor's race, but I really haven't heard a lot. Mostly I hear about Greg Hecht, so I think Jim Martin's kind of got a tough...
Jim Martin seems to be the Metro Atlanta candidate, the liberal white Metro Atlanta candidate, and I just don't know how far that's going to take him statewide.
Well, I mean, since a lot of the Democratic primary voters are going to be in Metro Atlanta, though, maybe that'll work to his advantage. Do you guys have any thoughts about any of the top races to look for this primary?
Well, speaking of the primaries, does anyone know what the breakdown is of votership in Atlanta? Because that's certainly... votership in the primaries versus votership in the election itself. The difference between those two is always something to take into account. Does anybody know sort of how our primaries generally are made up of sort of demographically? Is it the same sort of picture that we see in the elections?
Are you talking about number of voters as a percentage of a primary?
I'm talking
coming
about
from Metro Atlanta versus the rest of the state,
right? And does it look any different for the primaries or for the election itself?
I would think that probably in the Democratic primary, it's probably tilted a little slightly more towards Metro Atlanta than statewide. Probably the same with the Republicans, but you know, I think generally Metro Atlanta is half the state, and the rest of the state is the other half of the state.
Right.
Exactly, about half the people I think who are voters, but there's also the big suburban part, which I think has been trending Republican lately. So
definitely,
and then the question I guess, gentlemen, is just where are they going to get out the vote? You know? And traditionally, the activism has been centered in these urban areas, but Georgia also has a strong base in the rural communities, and like you said, the suburbs are coming up.
It's two legislative races, I think, that here, at least us here in inner city Metro Atlanta are looking at real closely, and that's the seat that Nan Orrick vacated down in the East Atlanta area. Alan Thornell, who is, you know, been seen as an activist in gay rights and also recently has been working with the Service Employees Union, is seen sort of as the front runner, but... the question is, does anybody really know who he is who's not been involved in the union and gay rights movements? And can any of his opponents really sort of take advantage of his lack of name recognition?
There are a ton of people on that race, though, and I didn't really recognize any of the names. Do you know any of the people? Does anyone in here know any of the people who are running for that seat besides Thornell?
There's a lawyer named Elena Kaplan, who apparently was a past president of the East Atlanta Neighborhood Association.
So maybe people in that area would know.
They know her. And then the other person, I think there might be three. There might be four in that race. I'm not sure. But I know the third is a individual named Paul Bolster, who actually used to be a state representative and then ran for city council in Atlanta a couple years ago and lost. So, you know, he's probably a has-been, but will his name recognition draw some votes? I don't know. I don't think anybody really knows how that race will turn out.
I think some of the really fun races to watch out for will be the ones where, just from looking at the candidates' websites, you know they're probably going to lose. I noticed there was this guy who's up against John Wiles in the primary. He's a Republican from Kennesaw, and this guy is actually, his wife is also running for the state house seat, and they're running on this platform that's completely about property rights, and they on their whole website and American flags and everything. It's a lot of fun to check out.
One race that I'm kind of interested in, just because she used to be my representative in Congress, is Denise Majette running for state school superintendent. I'm just kind of curious about how this race is going to go, because it seems like Denise Majette has been all over the map in terms of, we all knew she was running for something, we just weren't quite sure what it was going to be. So, you know, it could have been, for a while, there was some speculation about her running against McKinney in the 4th District. And I think that the groundswell of support that she was hoping for didn't appear. So now she's going for relatively, maybe not obscure, but maybe not quite as controversial of a post. So I just think that that's going to be an interesting race to watch and to see how she does, if she makes it in the primary, which I think would be reasonable for her to be able to do again, you know, and then see how she does against Kathy Cox, with a K. All right. Well, my other topic that I wanted to talk about tonight is use of the internet in Georgia campaigns and Georgia politics in general. I remember just 2 years ago in 2004, when I was really pushing for Kathy Wooler to win in the 4th District, there was really not a whole lot on the internet to find about, you know, for people who are really interested in politics and you wanted to get involved and you kind of wanted to take some of the energy that they had from the presidential primaries and to take that over into the Georgia political space. And at the time, there was really not a whole lot. And over the past 2 years, that has completely changed. And we suddenly have this explosion of Georgia political websites, from Peach Pundit, Blog for Democracy. Even the AJC has turned its regular feature, Political Insider, into a blog. And I think it's kind of changing the way that people run campaigns, and I think that we're just seeing the very beginning of it now.
Just from the perspective, Joseph, of the things that of, you know, someone who tries to be politically active and tries to read all of these different blogs, and I think it's now we're sort of, as opposed to where we were in 2004, now we sort of are aware that it's kind of a good problem to have, where you're fighting for space and people's attention, because now you've got to make sure that, you know, okay, is the political content that I'm preparing going to capture people's attention away from all these big national sites? I mean, between in that same time period, since you talked about, not only locally but nationally, politics on the web has sort of had that same kind of explosion, where there's a lot of we don't even need to listen. There's just hundreds of places now, mm-hmm. where you can find your home politically online, and so now we're sort of, in my opinion, seeing where you're kind of stratifying these, and people are sort of jockeying for position within this space, but now it's a defined space. Georgia politics on the web, no question, has its own sort of set of players.
Well, you know, and even considering whether or not it's any good, this show is a part of that explosion of people who are interested and who want to get involved and who maybe want to take the dialogue away from the official voices that have you know, traditionally held reign over who gets to say what about Georgia politics.
Yeah, and I think I heard the boom. Did you?
Yes. Well, that's Joseph. That's pretty much why I started doing this, is because I felt like the AJC and, you know, I wasn't reading papers from other cities in Georgia, but I didn't feel like they were really doing their job, and they're still not doing their job in covering issues. And so, you know, I felt like, you know, if 10 people read my blog, then maybe they'll, you know something that they didn't know just by reading the newspaper. And that's sort of been my focus since on my blogs and my posts, because I really think that the mainstream media, and I know that's sort of become a cliche, but they really don't cover the issues that they really should cover. And it's a little disappointing because they're the ones that have the time. They're the ones that get paid to do that, to work an 8-hour day doing it. I don't have, you know, I can't do it like they can. I can focus on one issue, but if they were really doing their job, then I think they would get some of these issues out there that we feel like we have to.
Well, and even within the space of blogs, I think there's actually sort of a mainstream media within the blogosphere, to use a term that I don't like so much. But I mean, you've got like the Huffington Post and Drudge.
Now you do, yeah.
Yeah, Drudge, Democratic Underground, Free Republic, all of these sites that that have plenty of readers, have plenty of space out there. And I think the challenge is that someone who's interested in Georgia politics doesn't necessarily have a home in those places. And that's why all of the sites that Joseph mentioned and our podcast, of course, is that's sort of the niche, I think, that we need to fill.
Well, plus, you know, honestly, if you're trying to make change happen in this country, you have to look around at your surroundings first. And you have to make changes in the immediate place that you live. And if you can't do that, you're not going to make much of an effect on the national scene. So that's why I felt like there was such a lack a few years ago, and that there isn't really one right now. But I think even as that happens, candidates and people who are working on these political campaigns are trying to find ways to sort of twist the new forms of media to their advantage. So, you know, it could be as simple as someone trolling blogs and just kind of posting positive comments about certain candidates or ripping other ones apart. Or it could be something like Kathy Cox's former campaign manager changing her opponent's Wikipedia entry, basically spamming Wikipedia with political rhetoric. So I just think that's kind of interesting.
Certainly, you know, in 2005, I don't think that these sorts of things happened like they have been happening in the past 6 months, really, as the sort of political races have started to heat up around Georgia. But there's no doubt about it. You know, there's somebody on Blog for Democracy whose name's Taylor Troll. And he basically, anything that mentions anything about the governor's race, Taylor Troll weighs in and spins something positive about the Taylor campaign. So it's a little silly, some of their stuff, and even some of the bloggers themselves, not just the commenters. I think you know, a lot of the bloggers here in Georgia are young political activists. I'm not young, nor am I a political activist, but and I think that they sort of see a future in one candidate or the other, and so they future as far as their employment if they get elected governor. And I think that some of these people get on their blogs and post stuff about Mark Taylor or Kathy Cox, and I'm not saying one or the other, it, because they have been promised some sort of job, and they sort of post propaganda. I don't have any really interest in working for either one of them. I look at it as sort of a who do I think would be the best person for Georgia, and
kind of gets difficult to. Kind of gets difficult to pay attention to that, to like some of the most basic questions, you know, just reading through blogs and responding to these little nitpicky things all the time. You know, I mean, not saying this is, you know, a big killer or anything, but when you get so mired in the details of all of these campaigns and who's doing what and all that sort of stuff, it's
a lot for the average person to follow.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, Andre of Georgia Unfiltered posted made a post about Kathy, a comment that Kathy Cox made at a speech somewhere about the fact that at this elementary school, it was majority African American, how, you know, they were doing so well, their test scores were so high. And, you know, and it's quite amazing because, you know, this is a poor school district with a majority African American population. And so Andre takes that little quote out of context and just explodes it. Oh, Kathy Cox doesn't think black people, you know, can learn in school. And it's just that sort of thing. I heard Shirley Franklin make the exact same comment last week. And nobody's calling for Shirley Franklin's head.
He doesn't have that same axe to grind with.
Exactly.
Well, it's kind of, I think it's also interesting how all of these politicians now are Googling themselves, you know, daily and on hour by hour basis to see what people are saying about them using Technorati. And I know that just in things that I've written on Doraville.org, that there have been lots of little kind of frantic emails that go out because of, you know, basically relatively innocuous things to most people, but for the political individuals involved, they're very interesting.
Just look at your came from on Stack Counter or SiteMeter or whatever you use and check and see, you know, a certain politician's name, and it's every day some of them look in and see what they've said.
Well, Joe, there's your answer. I mean, perhaps we shouldn't get too down on the sort of glut of nitpicky things that are out there to keep track of, because if someone is, you know, if the politicians are bending their ear, or their staff are at least, then I suppose that's one way to be heard.
I'm glad they're reading.
It's a nice distraction in a way, because, you know, it's like for someone like me, I don't really keep track of who's, you know, of how many people are reading my blog or anything like that, except like maybe every few months.
You're not vain like the rest of us.
I don't have time.
Oh no, my readership's down 25% today. I better say something controversial.
And you know, I mean, but really, you know, I mean, you say something about some certain politician, they, you know, and they come back to you and they're almost obsessive about it, and that's, you know, you kind of realize there are so many other things they could be paying attention to other than my little blog.
Bobby Kahn and Chris Huttman must spend 2 hours a day on my blog just based on their responses to you know, the stuff that I write. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Well, there's got to be a higher signal to noise ratio of that than the, you know, thousands of pounds of mail they get every month from their constituents or from whoever. I mean, or even worse, the email that they get. At least this is something that's targeted, that's on topic. You know, whether or not you're anybody, you know, you've at least taking the time to get out there and get a blog up and talk about it.
I think what maybe scares politicians too is that anyone can look at this, as opposed to a concerned letter or email. You know, this
where
is a public.
Rip it up and throw
exactly,
it out.
Exactly.
And people can comment on it, and it's all public, and you know, it's not going through the big media who can censor certain things.
Well, we're actually about out of time. So what I want to do is I want to go around, and I'll start with you, Decatur Guy, and ask for final thoughts.
Final thoughts. You know, it's been a busy month since the last time we've gotten together here. It seems like the political races and everything have started to really gain some traction. Mark Taylor seems to be making somewhat of a comeback in the Democratic primary for governor. So it's going to be interesting to come back whenever we do this next month to see where everything stands. I know Taylor has made some progress in the polls. Can he push it over the top and take a lead against Kathy Cox? I don't know. I don't necessarily think he will, but I'm looking forward to seeing how it all develops and all the legislative races around town and the state. Another one I forgot to mention today was Carla Drunner versus Sheila Jones. No, her name's Cynthia Tucker, not the AJC columnist, but Cynthia Tucker. Apparently Mark Taylor has decided to run somebody up against the state's only gay representative and is going to try to defeat her. So, you know, we'll see how that turns out. Carla's probably in some trouble, but we'll just see.
Great. Well, this is Garrett, and I just as a sign-off, I want to call on everybody to let us know if we're doing our job. Like we mentioned earlier, we're trying to fill this niche, you know, in Georgia politics coverage, and I know we don't have a lot of time to cover a whole lot, so we sort of have to pick and choose, but are we filling that niche, and what do you want to hear about? Please, we welcome anyone to
email any one of us.
Email us, give us that feedback. And then just personally, I'd like to promise that I'll bring a little bit more third-party coverage to the table as the lone libertarian here, the lone anything but Democrat, I think, at the table. I'd like to cover some more of the stuff that you third-party voters, independents, et cetera, might want to see.
This is Joe, and my final thoughts for this evening, I just like to mention, just in light of what we said, if you're a politician listening to this, then think of how you can turn all of this nasty stuff going on in the blogosphere to your advantage. Love it. It's going to be a wonderful thing if you can take the ire of bloggers to your advantage.
And call us.
Or we'll call on you.
And this is Joseph again. I just wanted to say we're still looking for conservative voices. If you think that's you, please contact us at info@GAPodcastNetwork.com. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Rusty and Amber again for hosting this show. Talk to you next time.